Leo Rhodes. He is a contributing poet to the collection. He is formerly homeless. He is a board member with Street Roots. He is an advocate and seasoned homeless activist. And he also writes the column The Wonder in the Street Roots paper. Leo, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And finally with us is Vinny Kinsella. He is a volunteer copy editor for Street Roots. He has been serving as the publishing advisor for this poetry collection. He is a book production specialist with experience as a writer, editor, document designer, publication consultant, and project manager. Welcome, Vinny.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Vinny, we're going to start with you and have you talk about how this project came about.
All right. Like you said, I've been a copy editor to that. And after spending some time copy editing it, I actually talked to Cole in Israel and said, you know, we have years of poetry. Have you ever thought about putting this together in a book, having an actual anthology? Because for people like me who got into the newspaper because of the poems, it might be nice to have something freestanding. And it turns out they had been thinking about it for a while, but just didn't have the know-how. And I had the know-how. That's what I do for a living. And so that's really...
Well, you had an interest in having this. Talk about what the general purpose of this collection is.
Well, poetry has been at the heart of the Street Roots mission since we began. If, you know, vendors are the heart of what we do, the vendors who sell the paper on a daily basis, I think poetry is our lifeblood. We have people go out in the community every day to sell the paper for us, and it's a really amazing time when vendors can show that they have been published in the paper. So after 15 years of Street Roots, we had this amazing archive of really incredible poetry that tells the stories of people who are living on the streets. And we wanted to feature that in some way beyond the paper. So this this book is I would say almost a 15-year retrospective of the best poems that we've had since we began in 1998.
And do you have any idea how many of the vendors contribute to the paper with poetry or other kinds of work?
Well, you know, it varies because the vendor population varies on, you know, an almost monthly basis. But I have a creative writing workshop that is attended pretty regularly with up to 10 people. Out of that, we usually get 3 to 5 poems. And beyond that, I would say at least a quarter to a third of the vendors are pretty consistently turning in work, you know, if not once, then weekly.
Mm-hmm. Leo, you are, as we mentioned, are a contributing poet to the collection. How did it feel to you, or how does it feel to you, to have your work published?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, just the giving the insight, you know, of what it's really like. When I first started, I was homeless, and so that's what I wrote about, being homeless. Now that I'm inside, it's something that people don't understand, the transition that you go through, and that's some of the poems that I've written. You know, it was about the transition. Like one, for instance, is my first blustery night, which was when homeless people get inside, they forget about being inside, and they, you know, the survival mechanism in their mind kicks off, and so they start thinking about where they can go to sleep, you know, and all these other things. And then it dawns on them, wait, I got a place. So that's one of the poems that I have. This Rain of Tears, also being inside, seeing the blustery night outside, hearing muffled, you know, laughter and stuff that reminded me of being outside too. So it's really great. I try to encourage a lot of the homeless people, even if they're not Street Roots vendors, to, you know, put in their poems, their writings. And, you know, everybody says that homeless people need to be educated. I say the opposite. It's the non-homeless that need to be educated about what it's really like to be out there on the streets. So, yeah, I think it's really, really, really great.
Would this be a good time to read one of your poems?
Yeah, I can read the one that's actually in the book right now. Like I said, it's The Rain of Tears, or it's called Rain of Tears. And, yeah, that's what it's about, is me being inside and then kind of reflecting. The rain comes down each day, worse than the day before. I try to prevent my clothes from getting wet. Right now, they're damp. A breeze comes, sending a cold, damp chill right to my bones. How I wish for dry clothes, a nice, dry, safe, and warm place. Now I have a place where I am safe, warm, and dry. I try to get the awful memories out of my head, eating my dinner and watching television with my shutters closed. I try to ignore the constant tapping on my window with the glistening contours, amplified by the rains and the streetlights close by. The trees seem to be waving at me as the wind blows through its limbs. Then I notice big raindrops coming down all around outside. Some of the raindrops hit my window. I watch as they slowly trickle down the length of the window, reminding me of many tears I shared with my brothers and sisters on the street.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, you know, that's, yeah, there is a lot of tears out there. People don't realize, you know, there are, when they see homeless people, they always see them stoic, and, you know, they always act like it's okay what all they do. So this right here, yeah, I've seen a lot of tears, and I've had a lot of tears out there too, because, yeah, it's not really fun out there, you know. So, yeah, this is one of the things where I'm trying to show people and tell people, being inside to outside, and I still have those memories.
Great. So back to you, Cole. The creative writing workshops that you lead, can you talk about what those are and how people participate in those and what comes out of them?
Sure. So the creative writing workshop happens every Wednesday at 9:15 in the morning, much the same way as Leo mentioned earlier. As we welcome poems from anybody in the community, anybody can join the creative writing workshop. So it's usually about 4 to 10 people. We come together around the table with a cup of coffee, and I have a prompt at the ready. Sometimes it's a type of poetry to try and emulate, for example, a tanka or a haiku. But we'll get folks to just sit down for a while in 15 or 20 minutes and write. They're allowed to write whatever they want, and we go from there around to share what we've written. Like I said, oftentimes people will turn in what they've written straight from there. Other times they'll take it and they'll refine it. So it's been a really great experience. I think it's almost transformative for some of the vendors to come through and really get a space to make their voices heard, you know, in a way that they aren't necessarily able to express to the greater world on a daily basis. You know, we have people who are struggling with a wide variety of addiction or mental illness. And so sometimes poetry is the only way that they can get their thoughts onto paper into the broader world. And I think I see that quite a bit in the regular attendees of the workshop.
And talk about the regular attendees. Are there people that attend this over what period of time?
We've been doing it for 2 years, and I have one or two people who have been there for that long. I have for 9 months, maybe a year, and a couple of people who just come every couple of weeks to once. It's very open door policy. Some days people aren't necessarily feeling in the mood to write, and that's completely fine. They'll maybe just sit around and watch the workshop or not participate, and we're very open and understanding to any needs that they have.
Have you participated in that, Leo?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was really great. It's kind of like, you know, being on the spot, you know, just, you know, he gives it, you know, what kind of direction to go. And then, yeah, you're right in there, and, you know, which is really great. I mean, kind of expand your mind creatively, you know, how to go towards what he was talking about. And, mm-hmm. you know, so, yeah, it's really great. I come in as much as I can. Like you said, I am an advocate, so I'm kind of like in and out. And, you know, I do writing, too, late at night. So sometimes I don't make it up that early in the morning, mm-hmm. you know. But I try to encourage a lot of people to come on in, you know. And just like, you know, Cole was saying, that a lot of people, the way I see it is venting on out. You know, homeless people, they need a vent on out. They can't just keep all of that down. They need to vent it on out, and this is a process of that.
So let's turn to Vinny Kinsella. Vinny, you were the publishing consultant?
No, actually, I had a team. I put out a call to some of my local publishing workers in town and got a phenomenal response. I think everybody recognized instantly what this project was, what it meant. Immediately they jumped in with a rather large team, all donating their time. Nobody charged for this. Everyone wanted to do it to support as volunteers. And there was a lot of poetry to read.
Yeah. How can you give us a ballpark figure?
Over 1,000 poems. I know that just from 15 years. And so the first round of volunteers sorted through the 15 years of back issues, reading the poems and just sort of looking for themes, seeing which ones were repeated. I could show you the spreadsheet that they created. It's immense. Just kind of whittling it down, looking for poems that fit different themes. We want everything from noticing a large group about addiction and recovery, large groups about what it's like to be on the streets, but not just that as well. I mean, just general celebrations of life and love, and looking for those themes and putting them together. And then, it was quite the process. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, there are still poems that we probably would have loved to put in there, but there was just so many.
right. And you have, I think, queued up there one poem that really impressed me, which is just a short poem that's right at the beginning of the collection. It sort of leads you into the collection. Mm-hmm. Would you mind reading that and telling us a little bit about it?
Yeah, this is the one that was chosen as the epigraph for the entire collection because we thought it really kind of set the tone for what you're getting into, and it is a short one, and it's and I'll just go ahead and read it, let it speak for itself. The poem is Repping with the Roots by Marlon Crump. Smile with a light. Stand. Frown with darkness. Start walking. Hand and heart for you. Stack of roots on arm says hi. Eyes forward. Tongue sung. I am here.
Great.
Marlon has been a vendor with us for about 2.5 years, and in that time he's turned in many poems, had many poems published, and he's outside usually at the Standard Building and is just absolutely gung-ho about selling. He's a great ambassador for us.
Yeah, that's a great little expression of that activity. Enjoyed that. Thank you. I want to tell people, this is Between the Covers. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and I am here with three involved in producing the book, I Am Not a Poet. It's the title of this new collection of poetry published by Street Roots. And you just heard Cole Merkel, who is a Street Roots vendor coordinator and leader of the Creative Writing Workshop. We also heard from Leo Rhodes, who is a participating or contributing poet to the collection, a board member with Street Roots, a homeless activist, and he writes the column The Wonder in Street Roots. And also we heard from Vinnie Kinsella, who is a volunteer copy editor with Street Roots and has been serving as the publishing advisor on this poetry collection. Maybe we could hear another poem from you, Leo. I know you brought a couple other ones.
Yeah, thank you. This one here, I read in several venues and with the colored pencils. Commissioner Fish asked me to write a poem about for the opening of the Bud Clark Commons. This is the poem that I read. And this poem is about me and my activism and how, you know, people, neighborhoods, decision makers, everybody, I just couldn't get anywhere with them. And I was, you know, trying to tell them what it was like to be homeless. And yeah, so this is the poem. And it's called Being Human, with a question mark. Oh, I also read this the last time I spoke before the city council and the mayor. And it was about the right to dream too, and their efforts working with the homeless and resolving homelessness. Yeah, again, it's titled Being Human with a question mark. I am the voice you never hear. If I spoke, would you listen? I am the ugly duckling visible in your pretty little world. I am the criminal when I sleep. I am the nuisance, trying to keep dry out of the rain. I am the homeless person, looking for dignity and a safe, secure place. So when I did speak, you know, before the city council, the first two lines is what I reiterated again. I am the voice you never hear. And I told the city council, well, the second line, if I spoke, would you listen? I said, well, working with the Right to Dream too, so apparently you are listening. So that's kind of a good thing, you know. So, yeah, you know, that's how that came about right there, that poem.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I wanted to talk about the breadth of people that are represented in the book. I noticed our KBOO volunteers are represented. KBOO volunteer Jay Thiemeyer has several poems in the book, and people know him here at KBOO because he's done many interviews, and he did an interview with Sasha Abramski, which is printed in the current issue of Street Roots also, so I wanted to give him a little shout out there. Talk a little bit about the representation of people, more about, I know you've spoken a little bit about it, but the representation of people within the book. I noticed people that I recognized their names from other community activities.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, we take poetry from anyone in the community. Anybody can submit to Street Roots. It's as simple as emailing poetry at streetroots.org, and we can go from there. So I think that we have a wide breadth of individual voices. And I think in a lot of ways, the poetry on the streets of Portland, or what it's like to be an activist in Portland over the last 15 years. And here's to looking forward to the next 15 to even expand that archive beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to speak to the collection itself, the names actually weren't a factor in the deciding. When we decided the poems, it was just going through the poems, letting them stand on their own, looking for the themes. And so it was more of a delight when we started to kind of peel back and see who the people were and find out their stories and recognizing certain names from the community. But it really was the content that drove, not the names that were associated with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are quite a few poems by women, and many of them spoke to me when I was reading through the collection. And Cole, you're going to read one of those poems, right? Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to read Concrete Reminders by my friend Julie McCurdy. Julie has been a contributing writer with Street Roots for the past several years. I have worked with her on several occasions to help her edit columns that she sent into the paper. And some of those columns, she's talked publicly about struggles with domestic violence. So I like this poem in particular because she's now become an advocate helping women escape domestic violence situations. And I think that this poem really speaks to the way that she is able to do that and the hope for the future of helping a woman get out of a DV situation. So again, this is Concrete Reminders by Julie McCurdy. To the ones whose shivers remind us of the work we have yet to do, thank you for your strength. Thank you for the gift your survival represents. To those who you stand apart from, remember, you are related, respected, and loved. You and your part in things are as necessary as the next. Don't take in strangers' opinions of your circumstance. They don't pay your rent on the concrete, and they can't see what took you there or where your journey will end. They are lost in the illusion of security that doesn't exist, and addicted notions. Hold your head up. You are wild, feral, free. Far more gifted at survival and the real than they will ever be. Remember, you don't require the approval of inadequate assessment.
Thank you. And again, that poet was
Julie McCurdy.
Now, if people are interested in getting a copy of I Am Not a Poet, how can they do that?
Well, the official release date, we're actually throwing a launch at Reading Frenzy. So the first thing I'm going to encourage people to do is to show up to your local independent bookstore and support them by buying the book there. But if you visit iamnotapoet.org, ordering information will be on there soon. And you can also subscribe to the Street Roots newsletter while you're on there, and information will be sent out. And it will be coming out in both print form and ebook form.
And that event, again, it's the 27th of February, so it's a bit of time
yeah.
away. And again, when, what time of day? And
7 p.m., and that'll be an open event, and we're going to be doing a lot of celebrating of the book that night.
I bet it'll be a lot of people.
Hope so.
So let's... Maybe you had one more poem you wanted to read, Leo? Do you want to give us that one?
Yeah, okay. This one was, it was about a girlfriend that I had starting up in Seattle. She followed me down here to Portland. We were friends first, then became lovers, but it didn't really work on out. With our friendship, I actually inspired her to become a homeless advocate. And that's what she does up in Ballard right now. And so I looked at it, and neither one was willing to come to the other city, and so that we could be together. I have my advocacy here in Portland. She has hers up in Ballard, the suburbs of Seattle. So I wrote this poem about the relationship. But then I thought, I read this poem also with the colored pencils. And in that, a lady was talking about her mother dying. And I thought, wow, this is kind of like goes along the same kind of lines. And then also it goes with being homeless too, how you have to carry yourself. So it's called Me and You. Memories come, memories go. Some memories need fixing. Other memories fix me. During the hard and rough times, the memories we made together is what gets me through. Basically what gets you through homelessness is the good memories that you have with your friends and other things.
And there is a theme of the book, and I'm not sure if you mentioned this yet, Cole, but about hope, mm-hmm. and hope through a variety of things, including relationships and memories, which may be surprising to some people. Did you want to mention that at all?
Yeah, I think the thing that you see in this poetry more than anything else is that there is an underlying current of hope. Even in the deepest despair and the hardest days of living on the streets, there is still beauty in the every single day. And I think that comes through in a lot of the poems that are printed and that we print every week.
And I've seen the cover online, and it's great. Mm-hmm.
It's a local artist, Chris Haberman, which many people know his name. And if you don't know his name, you probably know his work. He's pretty prolific. He donated. He made it specifically for the anthology and donated that. And so we're very, very thankful to have someone of his caliber donating that work, which, again, shows how many people really just back this from the start in town.
And there are illustrations in the book?
There are.
Yeah. How did those, are those, those are ones from already published in Street Roots?
Or? Yeah, those are also ones from the newspaper. And as we went through the poems, we also looked at the artwork. And in the same way, we found art that capture the same themes as the poem. So when you see them in the book, different theme. And so that's how the art was chosen, and it's kind of scattered throughout.
Right.
One of my favorites is photo of Mount Hood, or an image of Mount Hood right next to a poem entitled Mount Hood.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. We only have a couple minutes left. Is there anything that we haven't managed to let people know about, or that you think?
Go buy a Street Roots from your local vendor. We come out every 2 weeks, and we are so grateful to the community that supports us on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it, again, if people want to find out about this book or about the event, they should go to?
iamnotapoet.org.
And if they don't have a computer?
Buy a copy of Street Roots. Starting with the next issue, we'll have information on how to get the anthology. So.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming in to KBOO to talk about this. It's an exciting project and just exemplifies many, many good things happening. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And I want to let people know again, I have been speaking with Cole Merkel, Street Roots vendor coordinator, also with Leo Rhodes, who is a contributing poet to this collection, I Am Not a Poet, and he is a homeless activist and writes the column The Wonder in Street Roots, and also with Vinnie Kinsella, who is the volunteer copy editor and has been serving as the publishing advisor on the poetry collection. If you want to hear this program again, you should be able to hear it a little later today on the KBOO website. Just go to kboo.fm/betweenthecovers. This is Kathleen Stevenson. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks, Rock, for your engineering.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, January 23rd. I'm Kristen Yount. After 2 days of almost untenable civil unrest in the Ukrainian capital of Kiev, opposition leaders have met with the government officials to make formal demands. Vitaly Klitschko, opposition leader of the opposition group called PUNCH, asked for all protesters to be released, an annulment of anti-protest laws, and for current President Yanukovych to immediately hold elections to replace the current government. In Lviv, a city that borders Poland, roughly 300 miles west of Kiev, protesters stormed a government building and forced a governor who was appointed by Yanukovych to resign. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, unabashed after being excluded from Syrian peace talks, addressed the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland today, calling for Western investors. The president to move forward in talks with the U.S. to end sanctions and repair Iran's crippled economy. Yesterday, officials in Beijing called for an end to new fossil fuel burning power plants, as well as steel mills, cement projects, and oil refining in the city. The ban takes effect in March. Local government intends to cut dangerous emissions by 5% this year by banning coal in some areas and limiting the numbers of vehicles on the road. There are plans to fine companies and revoke business licenses of those who do not comply with the new rules. A United States federal appeals court for the Ninth Circuit ruled in favor of environmentalists and Native American groups. The groups included the Inupiat Community of the Arctic Slope, the Center for Biological Diversity, Sierra Club, and Oceana. They challenged the United States Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM, it's a segment to allow Shell Oil to exploit millions of acres in the Chukchi Sea for gas and oil. The court ruled that the BEOM only looked at the best case scenario in terms of environmental impact when making the decision to allow drilling. The groups formally appealed to President Obama to ban drilling in the Arctic to avoid having to use the courts to do moving forward. The Jamaican bobsled team will be competing in the Olympics next month thanks to Dogecoin. Dogecoin, the cryptocurrency featuring a semi-literate Shiba Inu, is a web-based currency. It currently trades for a fraction of its cousin, Bitcoin's worth. The bobsled team consists of two people, Winston Watts and Marvin Dixon. A fan started the fundraising effort and quickly raised almost $200,000. That's going to do it for the News at Noon today. Tune in every weekday at 5 p.m. for the latest in local, national, and international news brought to you by dedicated volunteers.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW.